rich fool was concerned about his barns. The leper was concerned about his leprosy. Diotrephes was concerned about his preeminence. The blind man was concerned about his blindness. But the Christian, the child of God, member of the Lord's church, the elect of God, has other concerns. I want to discuss with you three concerns that I believe that you and I should have as members of the Lord's church, as members of the body of Christ, concerns that we should have as those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus and who have been forgiven of sin. The first concern that I would mention to you is we need to be mindful of whose we are. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." The Apostle acknowledged that he belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the possession of Jesus the Savior. And as a result of belonging to Christ, he served Christ. He acknowledged, "I belong to the Lord." And as a result of being His possession, I serve Him. We need to remember and be mindful constantly in everything that we undertake, in every decision that we make, in every action of life, that we belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's. In Romans 14 and verse 8, "Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." We are the Lord's because the Lord has died for us. And we have made the decision on our own to become His possession. The Lord did not coax us into becoming His. The Lord did not bribe us into becoming His, but rather we made the decision ourselves to become His. And in making the decision to become His, we also made the decision that it would be Him whom we would serve. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the first epistle, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." A price has been paid for us. We are not our own because we have been purchased. The Lord has shed His blood as the purchase price for our salvation. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all, that He may be testified in due time." We were enslaved to sin. We had become the servant of sin. Jesus Christ was sent into the world because of the grace and the love of an almighty God. Jesus took upon Himself the role of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. He submitted to that cruelty, to that agony, to that shame, to that humiliation, so that He could purchase us. We are bought with a price. In order to become the possession of Jesus, God paid a price. He gave His only begotten Son. And on the cross, He turned His back. He hid His face from the very Son whom He had sent into the world. Our salvation cost Christ a price. He gave up the abode with His heavenly Father in heaven. He came to this earth willingly. He submitted Himself not simply to a death, but to the death of the cross. We need to remember whose we are. We are the possession of God. We belong to God. We are His because He has purchased us. And we have allowed ourselves through our choice, through decisions that we have made, through our obedience to the gospel of Christ, that we belong to Him. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 14 calls us a purchased possession. We belong to the One who has purchased us, which is God. Because of a purchase price, an item becomes a possession of he who buys that item. I own certain items because I have purchased them. I have paid for them, either with time or with effort or with money. And so God has purchased the church. The Apostle Paul declares in Acts 20 and verse 28 that He has purchased the church with His own blood. A price was paid so that the church could become the possession of God. God had all the power to own the church without a price being paid. He had the power to own all of those who would come to Him without a price being paid. But because of God being a God of justice and righteousness, He paid a price. Of all of the concerns in life that you and I could have this day, we need to have this concern of whose we are. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, all day. A second concern that we ought to have is what we are. In belonging to Jesus, we take upon ourselves a certain character. We become a certain type of person. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter said, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house." We are living stones in a spiritual house, which is the church. We are spiritual beings. We have been transformed from the world, so that we are no longer conformed to the world. At verses 9 and 10 of 1 Peter 2, the apostle said, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal nation, a holy priesthood, a peculiar or special people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God." Notice in that passage of Scripture what we are. We are a chosen generation. God has chosen us. He has chosen us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a royal priesthood. Under the old covenant of God, given to the nation of Israel. A tribe was chosen to be the priesthood tribe. The tribe of Levi held that special honor. And only those who came from that tribe could serve as the priest of God. But under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, any and all who become children of God become priests of God. Not only are we a priesthood, but we are a royal priesthood. We need to be mindful of the royal that is within us. We are a holy nation. We're not corrupted or tainted or marred. But we have been cleansed from all defilement, from all filthiness, purified from all pollution, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God that has come to dwell within us. We are a peculiar or special people. There was a time when we were not a people. There was a time when we were strangers and foreigners. There was a time when we were without God, and as a result, we had no hope in the world. But now, we are the people of God. We need to be mindful of what we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, the writer says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells within you." We have become a habitation, a dwelling of holiness. God Himself, the Magnificent One, the Omnipotent One, the One who is omnipresent, the One who is the Creator, the One who is all-powerful, the One who identified Himself unto Abraham as the Almighty, lives and abides and dwells within us. We are a habitation of holiness. We provide the dwelling place upon the earth for Almighty God. He does not dwell in a temple or in a sanctuary, but rather He dwells in the human heart that has been sanctified by the Spirit of God. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, says, "The Spirit of God dwells within you." We are the dwelling place of deity. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "But thou, O man of God," we are men of God. We are followers of God. We are in partnership, in fellowship with Almighty God. We are not people of the world. We are not simply ordinary individuals. We are not people who have no name or no title or who are unknown. But rather, we are men of God. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, the Bible identifies us as the body of Christ. While we could be mindful of many things, we need to be mindful of what we are. As we live in the world, as we associate with people of the world, as we conduct business in the world, as we work in the world, as we go about in the world, we need to be mindful that we are living stones in a spiritual house. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, a people of God, men of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The temple or the dwelling place of deity. That ought to be a concern. We need to be concerned about whose we are, what we are, but we also need to be mindful of where we are going. Where are we going? What is our destination in life? Life has a beginning, and life has an ending. But we are immortal. We have been created in the image of God. We are destined for eternity. Where are we going? In Philippians chapter 3 at verses 10 through 14, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When Paul wrote these words, he knew where he was going. He desired to be made conformable unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he might know His resurrection, so that he might know the power of that resurrection. He wanted to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was assured that there was going to be a resurrection of the dead. He had affirmed that conviction as he stood in the presence of Felix and Agrippa and all of the Jewish audiences that he faced. He wanted to apprehend that for which also he had been apprehended of Jesus Christ. Paul realized that he had been purchased by Christ. He belonged to Christ. And he wanted to apprehend that which Christ had in store for him. And so he said, "This is what I do in my life. This is my philosophy of life." Every individual has a philosophy of life. "I'm going to forget what is behind, and I'm going to reach for that which is before, and I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going." In Matthew 7, at verses 13 and 14, Jesus told His audience, He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about the destiny of individuals. He's talking about where we're going. He said, you're traveling a road, and roads have destinations. We travel on roads in our daily life to arrive at some place that we're heading. And so it is with life. We're traveling a road. We're either traveling a broad road that leads to destruction, or we're traveling a narrow road, a restricted road that leads to life. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ has restrictions. The Christian life is a restricted life. The road that we travel determines where we're going. In Hebrews chapter 11 at verses 15 and 16, the Bible speaks of those great people of faith who had lived under the different dispensations of God. And the record says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're seeking a destination. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. For these people of faith, God has prepared. Mindful of that country, if their concentration had been upon that country, if their real love had been for that country, that earthly dwelling, they might have had opportunity to return.